Well, good afternoon. This is the recording for the two advanced decline charts, which are directly above. And the first link shows a stock charts 15-minute chart of the S&P 500. And it allows me to blow up the picture, which is in the second chart, showing the big time span of the T, which comes back from early June, and the center post of the T is in mid-March. And then it projects a January 2 of 09 peak. And when we come up to this detail chart, we see two important things. One is that it's rising very fast up to the end of the 2nd of January, which is Friday. And then when you go into following Monday, you pick up a trading range, and then it kind of pops up, looks like it's going to keep going. And then it settles down, and then it falls away, and at least as I record this today, we're continuing that chart down into the lower regions, and we are expected to be headed to much lower levels probably by the end of the January. I did want to show you that it's remarkable that the T can reach across that long time span and come up with this date. It's also fairly interesting that the mid-channel concept, which I talked about in the last update, says that the S&P 500 should die out around the middle of the channel, which is at the 55-day moving average, and that was around the 934-935 level. So you can see in this chart here that you not only have hit the approximate time coming from a very distant past as an estimate, but you've also hit the 935-934 level, and it's traded right around that. So you have the whole forecast has been kind of compressed into a small box in both price and time, which is ideally what you want to get, because then things are much more reliable. Okay, that's all we need to see in that first chart. Now, if you come down to the second, just flip to the other window if you have all these windows open, as I suggested, you notice a very interesting aspect of the chart, which I hadn't noticed. And this relates to why I think that the reason that you get these peaks formed at the when you have these time symmetrical T's is they really turn out to be echoes. And you know, if you go out someplace and there's a mountain, a distant mountain, and you yell the word peak at the mountain, and it takes 2.4 seconds for the audio to reach the mount and then be reflected, it's also going to take exactly 2.4 seconds for that to come back to you, and then you're going to hear in 4.8 seconds you're going to hear the word peak come back at you as an echo. Echoes are always time symmetrical because the sound going towards the reflector and the time back to you is the same path, and the sound doesn't change its velocity. So it has the natural effect of producing time symmetrical T's. So what I would say when we look at this second chart, which covers the full time span, is that back in the J in this chart with the advanced decline peak is the first days of June, that there was a disturbance in which the peak is broadcast out and it travels until it hits the center post of the T, which is in sort of mid-March. And at that point, it rebounds, and then an equal time later, you arrive at January 2, 09, and the echo of the peak is what causes the S&P to rise up. It's only a remnant of an earlier sound, if you put it in the sound domain, and that's why you don't have to have any other mechanism to get an equal time symmetry. And because the two paths going to the reflector and back again are exactly equal, you can actually hit the time of the T, the January 2, in the detail chart, and expect that it will come out reasonably well. The surprise, which I think is even more interesting, is that if you take this T construction and you adopt this echo thing from the bottom in mid-March, you could move that center post of the T back to the left, and if you pick up the low, which is probably the third week in January in that chart, and you assume that the early June 07 peak bounced off that low, and you make a calculation of where that peak would occur, it would be in the early September time period, and that's the peak just before the market crashed. And then if you move the center post of the T back to the mid-November, I guess it's the latter part, third week in November low, and you draw a T in, you will get an echo arriving in the May time period, and that is the May time period. That's where we finished that rally that was a probably the better bear market rally. It went up the full channel width, and then you fell off, and you went down into the July low. So it's apparently true that these echoes are being set up from that peak into any low that you can get. And I will do this in detail next month because it's a very important technique, obviously. But you could print this chart out, and you can just measure these things out if you want to, and you'll see what the peaks that you're aiming for are basically market peaks in the advanced decline line. So you can see that the echoing process is just being distributed in what I think it is just a physical phenomenon that nobody else really understands. The main use for this, of course, for the future, is to move the center post over to the July low, which is a fairly steep decline there, and then compute that T, and you will see that you're going to get a peak that's out in, I think it's maybe in August or something like that, but we'll work out the details on that. The point is, it's very far away, and that makes the market vulnerable. If it's true that all of the peaks are given by this echoing process and the next peak is in August, it does leave the market somewhat vulnerable. In any case, we'll work on that later, but if you wanted to print this out, you could take a look at it yourself, and you might find some interesting conclusions from your own vantage point. Thank you.